This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So let's talk about your
photos.
Your book here. We're looking at a picture of you, you know, in costume and makeup. What was that? Can you talk about your look in the film?
It's a Greek look. No, I mean, the beginning of the whole thing is like, this is here in Cyril, and we got to look like as close as we can to what we imagine they looked like in those days. Hence the Lincoln beard, long hair. He's got a scar on his face there. He's been in a lot of battles, ex-warrior, now heading towards retirement. So that's what we base it on. But basically, we are the warriors, so we are wearing the uniform, which is a skirt and an arm.
I understand it's a new character.
Draco. I wouldn't know. I haven't seen the original. I think there's something that kind of reminds us of the same kind of character, some kind of mentor in the first one. But I haven't seen it, so I can't really answer that one.
So you're talking about your character.
Yeah, he's the leader or the general of the honor guard, the bodyguards of the princess, basically. And then, as I said before, he's heading towards retirement together with a couple of other of the guys, and some of the other guys are so young they've never been in battle, so it's an honor guard. And at this time when we meet him, we are going on a journey with Perseus, which reluctantly we don't want to go. I have a different plan to save the princess. I think we should hide her in the woods and wait till the storm's over, but we got orders, so we have to go with him.
This was a relationship between Draco and Perseus, and it's a fairly not a good relationship. I mean, do the guys fight over who's the leader, or is it a...
No, it's not who's the leader thing. We know, from the very beginning, we know pretty fast that he's a demigod. So, I mean, there's no way I can compete with that anyway. But what I do need him to do is to bring out that god side in order for us to succeed in this mission. Or let's put it this way, even if he brings the god sides, we have a very small chance, but that is the only thing we can do. And he's very reluctant to do that. He wants to stay a man. He wants to do this as a person. And of course, that doesn't really give good odds for me and my soldiers.
So what was your physical preparation?
We just turn up in really good shape, first of all, and then we started looking at the specific fights. We didn't do a general boot camp. We were going straight for the specific fights. Me and Sam had something together, and Scorpions and Medusa. So we went straight for the specific ones.
Can you talk about some of the physical rigors of shooting? You have to deal with a lot of conditions and selectivity.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the set over there. Beautiful. And we dealt with a lot of giant, fantastic sets, the Stygian Witch's Place, the Medusa's Place. They look fantastic, but they were also very difficult to work in. It was weathered down, so it was slippery, there were a lot of gravel all the time. So every time we rehearsed something like, this is easy, we can do that, and we come in there, oh my God, how are we going to do that? So it was very challenging, but it was great because it was real. We really, really fell all the time and hurt ourselves, and it looked great. The toughest place would have been, I would say, Tenerife, where we had facing a lot of volcano gravel coming into the sandals, and just constantly every time we fell, we hurt something, you know, cut up a bone, but it was fun.
And also the altitude.
The altitude was a different thing. We heard about it, we thought it wouldn't be a big deal, but the second you stepped out of the car, you could just feel it. But I'm a smoker, so I had an advantage.
So how much sun work have you actually been able to do yourself?
I think actually I've done it all. Yeah, I don't think there's anything I haven't done. It's been a priority from the stunt guys that if they could make us do it ourselves and look good, that's what they were aiming for. Obviously, if it didn't look good in the end or too dangerous, they would take over. And the stuff I've done has been pretty tough but not dangerous, so they've allowed me.
And so there were some people actually there in case you...
Oh yeah, the stunt people teach us how to do it in either case, and we always have them dressed up in case that something turned out wrong. And yeah, it's been great fun for me. I used to be a dancer and an ex-gymnast, so it's like when you do a film like this, you really get bitter if you don't get to do any of the stunts. So so if I wasn't allowed, I would probably have been begging, you know. So.
Was it fun? Was it fun to show up every day and say, I am a Greek warrior?
Yes. I didn't really say that. yeah, it was really fun. I mean, The first couple of days when we were having dress rehearsals and the first camera test, when we were standing there without the beard, without the long hair, we seemed a little lost in the costumes. But once we got that together a month later and looked at each other, it was really cool. It became a normal day at the office, putting on the dress, the armor, and the scars, and everybody was playing around with their swords, even though we were not doing any fighting that day. It's like having a gun on the set; everybody touches it, so it's been a lot of fun.
What point did Louis tell you you had to grow a beard?
It was obvious from the beginning. It was not a lot of people who did not have a beard in those days, at least what we think. So it's kind of the equivalent of what we picture the period to be. We have some of the young guys who don't have a beard, but I can't say I'm young anymore, so I got a beard.
Is there a plot reason why Sam doesn't have a beard, or is that
demo? No, first of all, he's slightly younger than me and the rest of the guys here, and he's coming straight out of the boat. He's been isolated in this little world of fishermen, and also hence the hair. He's done it for practical reason as a fisherman. That was the way they were doing it, and for other reasons, he might not have long enough hair to put on some extensions. but it's a good choice. It makes him stand out compared to the other guys.
We've heard that Louis is a very hands-on director, very active. Can you talk about working with him as opposed to other directors?
But he's very hands-on. I mean, the first time I met him and he was talking about the script, he almost forgot I was there because he was sitting in his hotel lobby, and all of a sudden he was up running around playing one of the monsters and doing something, and he realized people were looking at him. He gets very, very much into it when he talks about the things, and he's very much hands-on. He tries everything out that we're doing just to see if it's possible, if it's workable, can we do it a different way, and he walks the path, and yeah, he's very much hands-on, a lot of energy. It was like 2 or 3 weeks in Wales that he was working on first and second unit. That means he was working 18 hours a day and then got home and saw the rushes, and I don't think he slept for 3 weeks. But you couldn't see it on him. It was like very enthusiastic.
Was it a part that you went after, or was it a part that came to you?
It was a part, it came to me. Yeah, I hadn't heard of it, so it came to me. Louis had seen me in different films, and he wanted a fairly white... European cast, so he was looking at other people he's seen in European films before, and he's luckily seen some of my films.
You obviously have scenes with Sam. Can you talk about the working relationship with Sam?
Yeah, I mean, Sam is an upcoming big star now, and then he's an actor who likes to go down and discuss the scenes and try the scenes out with you. And so am I. So we've been spending a lot of time with Louis, and before we shot the scenes, trying out things and making sure that this is the right way to solve it. Is there a better way? Can we go a different way to solve it? So it's been very productive, almost like working on a very small scale films once we got to the scenes.
I would imagine that there's not a lot of room for something like this for improv. So how much time do you spend the night before getting yourself ready with
your performance? Either we do it the day before, we do it in the morning and waste some time there, but we'd rather do it in the evening so we're ready. At improv, no. First of all, we are talking in a special tone. Certain words you can't use, certain ways of saying things you can't do in a film that's historical. So improv, no. Physical improvisation could be there, but in terms of saying stuff, we had to have that nailed.
What's been the most challenging action sequence that you've had to do?
I would say it's one of the scorpions. I'll get back to you. I've got all day. One of the scorpion fights. They were like the size of this tent, and I had to. First of all, I tried to fight it the conventional way. It doesn't work. So I jump on his back and try to ride it as a bull. And I was sitting on that. We had a gimbal for that. I was sitting on that scorpion for I think a week. I had a very, very long left arm when I was done. It was very tough in there, but it looked cool.
You mentioned you hadn't seen the original. After you came on board, did you feel it wasn't necessary to go back and see that film?
Yeah, I'll definitely see when we're done with this. I can see tomorrow as well, but I don't have it. I've done it a couple of times when things were based on a book or previous films. I don't read the book and I don't see the film because this is what we're doing. We're doing this script. This is what we have to discuss. And if you read a book, you might be disappointed that this part is not in there. And so for me, it's just focus on what's in front of you. And if you like that, keep working on that.
Well, have you done any research on the actual, on the history or on the mythology?
No, it is mythology. I mean, I know a little about Greek mythology. It's not that far away from the Nordic mythology. We've got all the gods who have human qualities, greed, love, hate. I think it's a very interesting period. But I didn't do any exact research on it because what was in the script, as I said before, was built on the mythology. And then if I came and said, oh, I know a lot about Hades, it wouldn't really help me and my character in this situation, I would say.
I understand the cast is very multicultural, but you put together a journeyman really from everywhere. So what's it like working with them as far as just getting along and kind of learning about each other's cultures and stuff? It's been kind of a strange mix of...
No, it's great. I mean, you learn from the Irish guy, Liam, you learn to swear a lot. and Australian guy, you learn to drink a lot. I mean, so it's you know, they're all actors and they're all based in the same route. It's been really fun. We have a great mix of different people. We got one from Israel, a Christian guy from Israel. We got Malud, who's French Muslim. It's been really funny to hang out with all these guys.
Did you get a chance to hang out with them all?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, in Tenerife, we were spending 6 weeks together. And that was a gift from the gods, you can say, because it really shook this team together. Not only the journeymen, but all the actors and all the stunt guys who were constantly competing about something in the evening, finding something we could compete about, all just to show each other the bruises and the cuts and compare. And it was really like on a school holiday together.
So what happened to bruises? What happened to bruises?
What they can consist of?
Yeah,
well, all kinds of things. I mean, elbows and knees are always out there. You know, that's where you land, right? That's where there's a rock that finds your elbow somewhere. And it's not doing it once, it's doing it 10 times because you're going to do the fall again and again. And so once you start hiding that elbow, it comes on the other one. And we just look ridiculous sometimes. But in the morning, it's fine, we'll have to do it again. And it kind of, the whole discussion kind of stopped when Buster, one of the stunt guys, he made a giant roll down a cliff. And we saw him in the evening, we were like, okay, I'm not going to say anything else about this.
In a project like this, which is larger than life in a lot of ways, pretty fantastical, but the approach is to be realistic and gritty. How does that look? Can you talk about the challenge of balancing sort of being a bigger character and being a player?
Yeah, obviously we're not dealing with realism here, in the sense that I've never seen a giant scorpion like that, and Medusa doesn't exist, and it's gods. But having said that, we're trying to... It's always finding that level of how realistic can you go in the scenes when you're discussing things mano a mano, and how much should we level it to fill the form of the rest of the film. So it's always a constant debate of where you want to go with it. Well, we felt fairly realistic in some of the things, but having said that, it's always been carried by the style as well. It's not a dogma style, but we could get fairly realistic in some of the fights, at least in some of the dialogue, but we're not using the modern words, of course.
The original Clash of the Titans was a big favorite of mine as a kid and a lot of my friends. I was wondering for you personally, what were some of the fantasy or bigger than life movies that you were fan of when you were 10 years old?
I was not into sci-fi, science fiction at all. I was into some of the old pirate films with Burt Lancaster and stuff. I liked them. I liked the Three Musketeers. I liked those kind of cool things where they were having a rope and a sword. I got a sword this time, no rope though. But I mean, I don't know the titles in English, the old pirate films. He was doing a couple of films, wasn't he?
Prison Pirate.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Those kind of things. It was just, I loved watching it. It was classical fairy tale action. It wasn't in your face, but it was something I could relate to as a young kid. Just, you wanted yourself to be part of that, you know.
How long have you wanted to shave that beard off?
Since I got it. No, I've had a beard like this 4 or 5 times in my career, and it's good. I like it for the part, but there comes a state where you're like, this is it. I got to get rid of it now. You know, can't sleep on this side, can't sleep like that. But it will happen soon.
When do you shave it, and what happens like if you have to do some sort of
reshoots? Hopefully we won't. I won't be shaving it for... When I do the last day, we'll wait a couple of days for the rushes to be cleared. And if there is a reshoot, it will not happen until a couple of months from now. And people will be scattered all over anyway. So they will have to find a time and a place to do it. So that will probably be a false beard then. I did choose not to have one. Some of the other guys had had a wig or a false beard, but I find it very annoying to focus on that when you're doing a film of this size. You're jumping around, your wig is always a little like this. And if you're wearing a false beard, you start talking like this because you're afraid of losing it. So you're too aware of it, so I just went for this one.
What kind of accents are, everybody's from everywhere, particularly the eccentric group of soldiers, are you, have you settled on a particular accent you're all sharing?
No, I mean, I think we're going for what we call the neutral English, that nobody knows what is, but it will be like not Australian, not American, not Irish, definitely not Danish. something they call neutral, where they don't have sounds that is very specific Irish or very specific Danish or American or whatever. But I've just been telling the guys to hang in here because I'm doing the Greek one. Nobody knows where it's from. So we had a lot of fun with that. But we're trying. We've got a dialogue coach that's just keeping an ear on it. And then and if it's too much this and this, we'll try to correct it.
You're all going to have certain consistent.
I guess we will. I mean, it's always difficult when you're dealing with people from other countries. You know, it's we're trying to find a mutual thing, but in the end of the day, it also kind of ties you up to be thinking about that constantly. So it's hope we did it all right, but we've got some time to ADR as well.
You shot a lot of big scenes, which I'm sure have taken a lot of days. The actual scenes. What are you most looking forward to seeing finished with all the CG and?
Obviously some of the scenes we've done, but also a lot of the stuff we've not been part of at all. All the God things with Ray Fiennes and Liam Neeson, who haven't seen any of that. I really look forward to see the set and see how the guards look, and because we have a fairly good idea what our stuff is going to look like, but I have no idea what they've been doing, so that's going to be great to see.
Have you had the chance in the past to do this extensive amount of green screen sort of effects work?
Have I done it before?
Yeah, or have you done it to this degree?
No, never. And I've been the lucky one, as I said before. When I was fighting a scorpion, I had a gimbal.